I feel like we need to close in prayer after that. That was if you pay attention to lyrics, that is yet another one of these hymns of prep that turn out to be quite chewy, meaty, lessons in theology even. That one's based on Romans 8, if you saw that. The triumph of the victor that includes you is a picture of what's going on in the world, what's going on within, and even some battle lines that are being drawn. And you have the foes of God, you have the friends of God, you got light and darkness, and those kinds of themes that show overcoming and conquerors. And if you return with me in your Bibles to 1 John, that letter, 1 John chapter 4, we will resume where we left off earlier in this series before various things happened last spring. So intern comes, and then an Old Testament series in the fall. We left off right here. 1 John 4, we did the first three chapters looking through. In fact, there's a summary for you there in your bulletins if you want to see where we left off. I'll direct your attention there. We've looked at a number of sermons already, and I circled them in my notes, but the 1 John 2, 3 through 6, and 1 John 2, 5 through 7 about testing and the World Wide Web are themes that John purposefully is revisiting and rethreading throughout this letter. It's a wonderful picture of what he's doing, and we'll comment more of this along the way. But if you weren't here for the series, that's in effect where we've been. Work of the Spirit and love, and the picture going on in the congregation at that time apparently had some, there was distress. There were liars in their midst. There were people that were leaving. There were deceivers. So we had liars, leavers, and deceivers, and lots of false teaching. And John is writing to reassure the troubled ones there. False doctrine needs to get addressed. Disruption needs to get addressed. And so here's the apostle who is setting forward these words, and we'll revisit, re-step in, picking up to these words, the first six verses of chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for revealing to us truth, for giving us your spirit in such a way that we can know what you have revealed, even as we look at it right now in writing. Thank you that you write this on our hearts as well. And this morning, as we revisit and review some deep truths that are quite simple, we pray that your spirit would serve as the teacher. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy New Year again, and welcome to another year of testing. See, what do you mean? Well, do you think you will have any tests in 2022? Like what, you say? Are you a student? Well, we're all students of something. But some of you may actually have a math test tomorrow. Break ends. Happy New Year. Here's the quiz. The test. If you don't have that facing you tomorrow, maybe sometime this month or early this year, you have a medical test. If you know what those are like, some lab. You're not looking forward to that. Maybe a mechanical test. You hear clicking sounds. Your car is making clicking sounds. Or maybe your furnace is making clicking sounds. Or your computer, and you say, uh-oh. Now what? We need to run a test. We'll get out the instruments to make the test. And humans are constantly in the mode of getting tested. Your patience gets tested along with these things. Maybe you've noticed that. Emotions swirl around as you adjust to the realities of the test, whatever it is. And everyone in here will face at least one test in 2022, and probably several. What sometimes goes unnoticed, but should not, is the spiritual tests that keep coming at us. There are spiritual tests going on all the time. In this very room, there's a spiritual battle. We just sang a song about conquering in Jesus. You believe that? We're even processing those lyrics and this text, which is set in front of us. Today's sermon is going to look at some testing, spiritual tests, tests of truth, tests of the soul, really. Are you ready for these? And the tests, the contests. If you see in your bulletin, that is the title for today. It's trying to be a one-word summary of what we're about to study. It's a play on words, I'll tell you that up front. It's a summary of battle lines and really battle lies that the apostle is setting before. A spiritual battle. And if contest is just one word that summarizes what we're looking at today, then a single sentence might say it this way. As Christians, you live in a world of conflict and contest. That's why you constantly need to apply a biblical contest, a test that discerns cons. That's the play on words. And here is what John's doing. He's engaging, he's revealing here. It's a couple of pretty obvious points that we'll consider. I hope they're obvious. 2 points today. They go like this. Always and actively discern the contest, and always and actively engage the contest. Again, it's one word. It might seem a little silly to do it this way, but we said, what was the sermon about today? It was about the contest. Are you being conned? I'll ask rhetorical questions with each of those points. I want to direct your attention to how this starts, whether you were here for the rest of the series and the lead into this. That first verse is seemingly abrupt, but it has a lot packed into it. Look with me at verse 1 as we move forward. Beloved, these are his beloved children, those who he loves. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And we'll pause there. So this is, there's really, I think you said there's 2 commands that are about to get unfolded. Don't believe this. Don't believe everything. And how do you, well, you test. So how do you test? So we want to discern, always and actively, the contest. And typically we walk through a passage. I'm not going to go just 1 through 6. I'll be jumping around. This is more of like a big gulp. I'll be referencing things in 2 big gulps instead of just a slow motion verse by verse. But there's the start. The letter to the beloved continues with something about a contest. I'll ask these questions about who is right. What is the contest? Who are the contestants? Who's in the contest? And why must they get contested, according to this passage? What is a contest? I think you know what that is. I think some of you might enjoy that. Some of you like competition. You like to face a struggle that will show some sort of victory with your rival. It can be in sports. It can be in politics. It can be in card games. With your opponent. Your opposite. Your contrarian. But specifically here, as I've already pointed out, we are looking at a spiritual battle. One that turns out to be cosmic, which means it's everywhere all the time. It's in the cosmos. The spiritual battle that's going on in this room, and some of you can see it more clearly than others. You mean I can see like a sword with an angel or something? I don't know what you can see. But John is telling you that it's a test-worthy con. You need to look at these spirits and discern, always and actively, because it's cosmic. So what is a contest? I'll spot you that. I think you know what a contest is. But who are the contestants, the ones doing the battle here in this contest? You wouldn't see it even if I showed you, but I have color codes on my text. And it's really, like if you were to do this, I'll tell you, for example, I circled the do not believe and the test. Those are verbs. Those are commands. There's two of those, and they lead the way. I already pointed those out. And then the word spirit shows up 8 times throughout this. You see that? Just look for the word spirit. Don't believe every spirit. So they're going back and forth. Different kinds of spirits, evidently. And then we have the phrase from God 6 times. So 8 times spirit. And from God, 6. World, 6 times. A reason for all of this, when he says, by this you know, and for this, he gives reasons for many of the false prophets. Okay, so I'm giving you a broad overview here. And then there are some pronouns that are significant here. In verse 4, you see you. Verse 5, you see they. See that? And verse 6, we. And John's weaving all of this together to lay out before you this call to contest. Do not believe and test. So who are the contestants? According to this, and this is going back and forth, the summary you could say, well, team one or contestant one would be believers. But the way he describes it, he's got you and we. And we turns out to be the apostles in this passage, you being the beloved ones, those who have the Holy Spirit, those who are in Christ, those who know the truth, those who follow the apostles' word. That's one side. In short, you're from God. So see how many times you're from God. And you need to test whether or not they're from God. Because they, contestants number two, they could be summarized in terms of the world. Again, the word world, see it there over and over. In particular, verse 5, they are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. And then if you've been here in the series, this is tantalizing for today if you weren't here for the Antichrist talk. But there it is, right in the middle of the passage there. This is the spirit of Antichrist. See that, verse 3? Which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. And you'll be like, whoa, what do you mean already? This was in the first century. I thought that was in the future. We've already talked about that, so I'm not going to deal with that so much here, except to show that we will be dealing with Antichrist. They are Antichrist. John's already mentioned this in this letter. They are of the world. They have other spirits. They have falsehood. They have unbelief. You see, there's a battle, and it's cosmic. It's spiritual. It's everywhere, all the time. So here are these people that are driven by spirits, and they have false teachings, and that's because they're false prophets. You see that in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So here's a reason, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Okay, so these are false trusts. They were there in the church then, and they're in the church today. They're cons, and we want to have a contra con, go against this teaching, and some clear cons in relation to Christendom, at least, as revealed in Scripture. Some of these are, I don't want to say easy pickings, and I don't want to make light of this, but in terms of, I hope you would be able to recognize that the contrary, the cons that are trying to deceive you, we've got, the web of lies. We looked at the World Wide Web in chapter 2. So we have the world. Pick something like astrology, some worldview, a view of the world that is not biblical. It might be a hard word, but I don't think you would disagree that Mormonism is not true. And it's because they've got the wrong Christ. And this is where John's going with this. Islam doesn't have the same Christ that John's talking about. Self-help might not even have a Christ, but if it did, it would probably look more like you. And we have social media influencers. So there's just a lot of stuff coming at you that's a battle. And it's going on all the time. It's coming at you. This contest needs your test. You test the spirits. You discern the lies because there are consequences for the contraries. We have false gospels. If you jettison the real Jesus, if you kick him out, if you make him different, if you deny him, as John has been laying him out, really all of Scripture, but John in this very letter, as he's making pains to show, same John who wrote the Gospel of John, wrote this letter, same John who wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ, that's this John. He's going to keep taking you back to the person of Jesus. And if you've got a gospel that is not dialed into the person of Jesus as he's been telling you, you're wrong. You got, you know, so fill in the, you know, give an adjective. I jotted down a few. You've got like prosperity gospel. That's one that's pretty hot these days. Strikingly, even in the church. So it's another thing that if we've got these false religions on the outside, we've got what's bubbling up inside that we would need to discern always and actively as a child, as a beloved child of God, to test the spirits. What's the con in terms of prosperity? This idea that if you trust Jesus, God will give you stuff. He'll make you wealthy, materially wealthy, and he'll make you healthy physically. And if you don't trust him, this is implied if not stated, if you don't trust him enough, if you don't have enough faith, see, that's a you thing. The prosperity depends on really you. We have, you could call it partial gospel, where you say Jesus was a good guy. A lot of people say this. He's a great teacher. Or even that he was a sacrifice, but only a sacrifice. And only in a spiritual sense. See, that's not what John's talking about. That's a false gospel because it's not full. It's partial. It's not recognizing the obedience of Jesus and taking the wrath of God for you upon himself. Then there could be a plus gospel where you take the Jesus part that you like and then you add your efforts. You make it so that I need to be doing something, or it doesn't really. To make it good news, I need to be a good person. That without me doing all these good things, then Jesus won't see how great I am and then reward me. This again, making an idol. You're making a Jesus that doesn't exist. You're making your own righteousness, your own ideas, gospel. And anything that goes like, you need to discern that within your own heart. If you're creating this false Jesus, you can make a political gospel where, we got to get our, you know the drill, get our rulers and all the right seats on the bus, and then everything will be great, and that'll be good news. It turns out it won't be. Just get another sinner. You need a savior, and there's only one of those. You have a social gospel, you have social justice, whatever that means in the context. So who's the true champion of justice when you even bring it up? And I mean, the list is long, and it's percolating within churches. And so the first century version, we've been over this mostly in the first part of this letter, trying to pin down who exactly these liars are. But they're making their presence known in this church and causing consternation. And so at this point in the letter, he's revisiting, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Test them. Test the spirits. Test me. Don't take my word for these things. You need to take God's word. So as we're walking through this letter and in this part in the letter, seeing the discerning factor, what is the contest? It's a spiritual battle. Who are the contestants? You have those who are from God, who have the Holy Spirit, and those who have a different spirit of the world. See? That's a quick summary of that. So what is the contest? Who are the contestants, and why must they get contested or confronted in this way? Short answer, because the contest is cosmic. It just won't leave you alone. When you leave here today, it'll still be out. When you sing the final song, there'll be a spiritual battle going on, saying, don't listen to that, it's dumb. Or that's overwrought. Or why is this so long? That something that takes your heart and your affections away from the Christ and back on the world and maybe your worries and your way in this world. Why must he get contested? The contest is cosmic and consequential because there are many false prophets in this world, as verse 1 says straight out, because there are divisions within the body of Christ, which is the context of this letter, and because they, these would be Satan's forces, they're trying to work from within. Trying to work from within. I don't want to belabor this. I do want to anchor a very solid theological note and practice right here that, and this gets touched on often, including Christmas Eve, but at the cross, Jesus crushed the serpent's head. Remember this part of the story? You have to know that part. The Satan's defeated. That's good news. John the evangelist, the revelator, and the letter writer here, he keeps bringing you back to this reality. Defeated serpent. And I think I've pointed this out before, but you know, back growing up as a kid, we had a little rattlesnake in our garage in Kennewick. It was a while ago, so maybe they're not there anymore. But neighbor came over and used a hoe that is like this long, cut the head off. So I'm like 11 years old. And someone said, don't go out in the garage until sunset or the next day, whatever it was, because the head can still bite you. Wow, a little head spinning around. And so that picture stuck with me for these purposes here, that at the cross, the serpent gets his head bashed in, but he's really mad. He's defeated. He will not survive. He will not triumph. But in the meantime, he's going to be mean. And he wants to take out the church. If he could, at least disrupt it. He can't defeat the church, but he can disrupt the church. Do you think John knew that? John's writing to believers that are disrupted. The attack is coming from within and from without. And there's a slithering work going on here, stirring up trouble with lies and deception and grumblers and grumps. I put in my notes here, thankfully, I don't have any one of you in mind right here. A few years ago, I might have been so immature to think that way, but I think I'm pointing out what just is. To have a body this size, eventually you're going to have people that are agitated over something, but let it be over the gospel. Don't let pain bring pain. I mean, there's pain. There's pain in our bodies, in our souls, in our there's brokenness in all kinds of ways. When you get agitated, I get that. And sometimes it's easy to lash out. But let this be a place of rest, a place to come here and hear something, hear good news from God. Gospel truth. Pain needs gospel. And if you need another hearing, then get re-engaged even today. Maybe even repent of selfishness that keeps you from hearing it, the spiritual battle that has stirred you up to the point where you're like, I can't hear this. Repent and maybe re-recognize the body of Christ for what it is. See Jesus even in his people. See him in the supper when it's served. See him in his word. Feel him in the comfort that he gives in the gospel. We constantly get contested. So always and actively discern the contest. We looked at what it is, who the contestants are, and why they must get contested. And now we'll move to a second point, the other point, which is always and actively engage the contest. Again, I'm asking three questions. What starts the way? What is a con? I could illustrate this. Plenty of entertainment, sort of, you know, movies and TV shows. For some reason, we seem to pull for the con. I don't know exactly when that happened, but we think, yeah, like, get away with that. Trick those people, and it's fun to watch. Maybe that's what makes it drama, and we like stories like that. But don't fall in love with the con. In particular, this kind of con. The liar that comes into the midst of God's people, deceiving and stirring the pot, in particular, in relation to who Jesus is. And you think, oh, I would never get fooled by that person. Well, what is a con? Again, see the above, what we just, the contrarian against you, against, this is the opposite, it's the opponent, it's the confidence man who can build trust. That's what a con man does, is they build trust and you like them and then they take you. They trick you and they take your stuff. It's embarrassing. What is a con? And the truth of the matter is, there's a lie. And John wants you to face it. The world has a way, as we've seen, the world wide web. It draws you in, it sucks you in, it sticks you there. Verse 5 again, see it there? They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. So you don't want to have that frequency where you're tuned into whatever the world... I don't know what... Not that things that hip are and are Hollywood are all terrible, but not all terrible, but there's a certain fizz factor in popularity that's seductive, that draws our hearts away to celebrate, that's why we call them celebrities, to celebrate people. And things that are coming out of their mouths as if they know something. And they might not. And if they don't know who the Christ is, John's saying, you need to test this. What is a con? And verse 1, looking at that again, it might seem like a duh statement. I mean, we probably tell ourselves and our children this, beloved, do not believe every spirit. But test the spirits. We say, don't believe everything you hear. And we say, well, no kidding. And yet, why do we get deceived? Why can a child of God, how can a child of God get sucked into? So what's the test? So if that's a con generally, what's the test of the con? How do we discern, like we did in the first point, or you could say distinguish, how do we recognize, determine, diagnose, if you like that word? You look at something going by, and now contrariness and lies, you can't put it in a test tube, probably, and just shake it up and say, oh yeah, clearly you're a liar. It's more subtle, and it's again slithery. There's snake stuff going on here. There's serpent stuff. So what's the test? At least in this particular passage, a short answer would be the truth. And you will say, okay, well, what truth? Whose truth? Well, the truth that you know from God. Again, how many times did it say from God here? 6 times. From God. You're from God. And this you don't want to believe what doesn't come from God. So what's the point? As confessed here by John in this letter, it's Jesus coming in the flesh. Look at the beginning of verses 2 and 3. By this you know, okay, oh good, knowledge. By this, by what? By this you know the Spirit of God, colon, this sounds good. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Again, this is the spirit of Antichrist, against Christ, false Christ. It's so simple sounding, isn't it? It's very basic to the test of good news. You have an in-the-flesh Christ. We just celebrated Christmas, right? That's what Christmas... It's celebrating the incarnation. Incarnate, in the flesh. God comes to the sinners, not as a sinner, but in the flesh, so that he can save us from our sins. Again, Merry Christmas. We just celebrated that at some length. It's an obedient Christ who came in the flesh. It's a Christ who came to die in the flesh, to take the wrath of God upon his flesh and his soul. It's a risen Christ who rose in the flesh, which says great things about your body and your identity and your future. And it's a Christ who is reigning in the flesh, who ascends to the Father. This is the gospel storyline. And if the Christ, the anointed one, promised from the beginning, did not come in the flesh, then it's over. But if that's not the story you're hearing, then you have a liar in front of you. John's revisiting this theme. don't believe every spirit. Because some spirit that he, it's symbolic, people say, that he didn't really, no, he really came in the flesh and did all those things. God did. The God-man. And without that test passing, you fail. Lies are being told. I think you get that. We discern, we diagnose, we put our truth radar on high, and we discern. Do you know what a truth, do you ever feel like, there are some places I go, I'll be honest, where I've let down my guard a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't, but I go into some places or things, some things I read, I feel like I relax a little bit. And I hope you feel that way here, where you think, we have reason to trust the teaching in a confessional church, okay? Well, good. But there are other places I go where I think, I got the shield on high. Maybe not the shield, but the discernment ray. I'm paying attention. What'd you say? What was that? And yet, again, this is so basic. You have to have a Jesus that came in the flesh. And that's John's, it's right there in the text. Otherwise, you're antichrist. You're not Christian. You're against Christ. And so we discern, and there are different ways that we discern in our lives. I jotted down some ways to illustrate that, but I won't go into great detail. But your tongue discerns things. You know, so, like wine tasters. There are some people that are so good at this, they can say, they smell it, and they taste it, and, it's 55% Cab, and 40% Merlot, and whatever's left, Cab Franc. And it was grown on this hill. Okay, very discerning, and you're trained to do that. You're trained. You learn by the truth, by some standard. And here to discern a spirit, or as I put in my notes here, smell a rat. And what's that? That's a rat. And I pointed this out to the kids here before, the Covenant kids, where I think you guys are, and if you're still in this room, this isn't an insult, it's an observation. And I'm pleased that you're very good at, and maybe it's true for the adults too, that you can smell a rat. You hear a doctrinal error and you think, that's not right. And sometimes I'll even see a confused look when I say, they think, that can't be right. Like, but can you articulate why? And on something so fundamental as the person of Jesus, we have to get this one right. I mean, if you're confused about, again, this teaching of the Antichrist and who is that and the end times, stuff like that. I get that. But this is so basic. You have to be able to sense this lie when there's deception in our midst. Anything that is anti-Jesus as revealed here in the flesh, the person and work of Jesus, the gospel truth, is not just a good guy and a good teacher. He's the very Son of God. This brings great contentment. Even in this contest, there's contentment in the face of cons. John's been going over this. Might be tempted at times to fall into something. He said, no, we've got the three forms of unity. We got it's all written down. This is great. And the battle rages, and the enemy's so good at what the enemy does. We see people embrace cults and false faiths. Why? Because they're true? No, not because they're true. Because it's speaking to their heart in some way. Somehow the heart is captivated. There's something in the world's wisdom that just sounds right. What did I read this week? Something just got displaced as the number one funeral song. Apparently, I didn't know this because none of you have requested it. Apparently, a very popular, if not the most, and now not the most requested song at a funeral is My Way. Do you know the song? If I'm my way, you're going to celebrate that. Yikes. The world has a way of saying your way is the right way. You did it your way. Praise you. And yes, you can. You can do all these things. You did all these things. You can earn your righteousness. You can be good enough. You are good by nature. You're free to impress God if there is one, people say. You deserve this. You're worthy of this. You're worthy for the good life. And that's the good news to the world. And verse 5 is saying, no, they are from the world, and they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. See, they're singing, you're singing my song. And here's the battle. The battle is for the heart, it's for the mind, it's for your will. What are you hearing? You have to hear. We need to hear the gospel over and over again. I've said this before, but you say, why do you guys preach the gospel here so much? And the short answer is because in some way you forgot it this week. Not, you didn't forget that Jesus is the Christ. I doubt that. But in some way you didn't. You just didn't live like it. And that's why sin becomes attractive and the world influencers become very attractive. The world wants you. Its ways want you. All of you. It's worldliness. And it's a version of good news that keeps its eyes on earthly things. And we say, nope, not going to believe every spirit. I'm going to test the spirits. I'm going to hear the gospel again and remind myself, this is how I gain strength. I gain strength by hearing that basic message always and often, and as we say here, actively. Always and actively discern the contest with the gospel and always and actively engage the contest with the gospel, the content of the gospel, Jesus Christ crucified, risen, exalted, reigning. Well, we've looked at what a con is briefly and what test can help us distinguish and discern, and that's the person of Christ. And then maybe lastly, at least real quickly, how do you defeat the con? Short answer, not by you. Just don't trust yourself. The trust is in the Savior, not yourself, not your smarts, not your spirit, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in you, who lives in you. See that verse 4? Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For, here's the reason, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We just sang that. And the song of preparation was a summary based on Romans 8, again. And here, this apostle is echoing these same. You are overcomers in Christ. This is, his spirit lives in you. You want to defeat the con, the liar? Battles flare up. They do. They will. 2022 will have plenty of battles. And yet, you can rest assured in this. It's already won. The battle's already won. The conqueror has conquered. Not by the world's ways, not by its desires and doctrines and deception, but by the Christ. And we confess this as true. We resist the lies and the liars who tell them. We remember what he says and what's right in front of us in these written words. We recognize who lives in us. It's the Spirit of God. We rest in these truths. This is our identity. This is who you are. You are in Christ. You're the Christian. And then this comforting word, how do you defeat all of those positives, gospel realities? I'll remind you the commands up front. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, right? Those are the two commands. And then there are these two comforts that are wrapped up in, and John keeps coming back to this knowledge stuff. Remember the gnosis. In verse 2 and verse 6, look at me there at how these, by this you know the Spirit of God. Then he tells you. And then the last sentence of this, by this we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. This is to be continued. It's already been continued in John's writing, and he'll keep coming back to this gospel reality. You know this is true not because you're better than someone else or you're smarter or you're more clever in your discernment, but because you have the Spirit of Jesus living in you. And you belong to him because he bought you, and it looks like something. It looks like something this day as you worship. It looks like something this year as you step into it. And in gospel terms, it looks good even in the face of any contest. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for giving us your Spirit of truth, the Spirit who gives us life. Also the ability to see lies, see, lies in a world of conflict and spiritual contests. Lord, as we engage this world for service, even in this new year, we do pray for spiritual eyes that are able to see very clearly your truth, your gospel. And Lord, grace us then to test all contrary voices and discern your truth in a way that leads to action and also to assurances that brightly shine light into our world, the light of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. One set of lyrics that offers a response to God's word today can be found in our Psalters number 542. 542. Let's stand as we sing.